With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready?
Welcome back, Revivers. We have a special guest today in Noel's tummy.
I was like, we do? Where?
This is your first episode with baby Lennon.
Oh my gosh, I just realized that.
Yeah, I thought about it the whole way here and was like, oh my gosh, little baby Lennon is going to be starring in our podcast now until she's born.
Yeah, last time we recorded, I was probably pregnant. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, this is like the first episode we're recording while we know Noelle's pregnant. Already have a little name. Oh. I'm so excited. So if you have not seen it on social, you're hearing it here first, guys. Little baby Lennon will be joining us in October 2025.
Yep. A Halloween baby.
Okay. Today we are going to be talking about praying like we see in scripture. Now, I know we may think we know how to pray. I certainly thought that. But if you actually break it down, I don't think that we are praying right. So we're digging into something that might challenge you, that maybe even stretch you. We believe it's going to open your eyes to something powerful that's been sitting in scripture all the time. And it's not just prayer. It's called commanding prayer. Now, this isn't a term in the Bible. It's not an official term anywhere that I know of. It's just something we're calling it. I've heard other people call it this too, but most of us were taught to pray things like, Lord, please heal them. And Lord, if it's your will, blah, blah, blah. And Father, we're just asking you to move, like, please, in your name, blah, blah, blah. Do you pray like that, or have you prayed like that?
Yes, I think just a pretty scripted prayer.
Yeah.
And have you seen that TikTok, or it's a reel, and it's like, Lord, it's your humble and faithful servant. Have you heard that? Yes. And it's like, it's funny, but it's true, because in our mind, it's like, that's how we're trained to pray, which is so crazy, because when you look at scripture, it doesn't really align with that.
Yeah. And we're just like, please, please, please. And we're essentially like begging God to bring healing power to whatever we're praying for. Yeah. But when you open the word of God, like when you really study how Jesus prayed and how the disciples prayed, you don't see passive begging language like that. You see authority, you see power, and you see commands. And that's what we're focusing on when we talk about prayer today, is the command. And of course, you know, we're backing it up with scripture. So Noel, what's the first scripture that we're going to dig into?
All right, let's start in Acts 3:6. It says, then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
That last little part, say it again.
Rise up and walk.
Y'all, he didn't pray a polite little prayer. He didn't say, Lord, if it be your will, please help this man get better. Please heal him in Jesus' name. Please let him walk again one day. No, he spoke to the situation and he commanded healing in Jesus' name. And it wasn't Peter being arrogant. It was him understanding the authority that Jesus gave him. Like, how many times in scripture does it talk about the authority that we have in Jesus Christ? He was actively walking out his belief in his faith and his acceptance of what Jesus promised all of us. And then Jesus didn't say, ask me to heal people and I'll think about it. Like, nowhere in scripture do we see that. Like, he commands them to get up and walk, and then Jesus heals them. They walk.
Yes. And Drew and I and the kids were watching The Chosen like right around Easter time. Mm-hmm. And if you watch that, if you haven't, watch it, like shameless plug. It's so good to give you the visual of the Bible. But even the scene where he raises Lazarus from the dead, mm-hmm. if you notice in that scene, he's standing in front of the tomb and he's giving us a perfect example of how to pray. Mm-hmm. And the first time, it doesn't work, right? Yeah. So like in that scene, everyone's like, oh, like yeah. he commanded it. And then he went in with more authority. So yeah. in that scene, it was like, man, like he went in with authority at first, but then he like went into extra authority yeah. mode. And that's really a perfect example of what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. I struggle with that too, like with this concept that we're talking about today, because I, even now, I will catch myself being like, Lord, please, da-da-da-da-da.
Yes.
Like, Lord, please tell them or, you know, whatever it is. And then I'll be like, no, like I have the authority. I don't have to ask. I can command. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, John Harold, we go to the church with this man named John Harold, and he is the closest thing to Jesus, I think, on this earth. He is yes. just the best. He is just the best. He prays with this commanding power. And so I always think of John when I'm like, okay, no, pray like John. So like when I start doing this commanding prayer, I'm like, be healed in Jesus' name, whatever the issue is, like cancer be gone or this be gone, mm-hmm. you're healed. And then it's so short when you do it that way. And I'm like, man, that just didn't feel like enough.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then I'm like, well, should I say it over and over? Or like, yes. it just feels like it's not enough. And yeah. so, and that's just flesh and tradition of man. And like, that's mm-hmm. just not true. But it is so hard when you're used to praying these long, drawn out, like yeah. begging passive prayers to just be like, heal them in Jesus' name. By your stripes, you're healed. Cancer be gone. Like, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. and that's what you see in scripture. Like in Matthew 10:8, it says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. And you might be thinking like, okay, but that's Jesus. That's the disciples, and find it really hard to pray in that authority. Like I was just saying, but we, you know, we're all there. Sometimes we all are like, I don't know. I still go there. Like I know the difference in like passive and authority praying now, but man, it's hard.
Yeah.
Like rest in that. And like what you were saying with the tomb is like, we may pray that commanding prayer and nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And then what?
Yeah. We've talked a lot on this podcast about traditions mm-hmm. and like traditions that are passed down from generation to generation. And I think those prayers are a part of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear it in church sometimes and it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
So like, I know for me, whenever I'm praying before bed, it's like my prayer has become a habit.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I've literally prayed the same prayer for 15 years. Like yeah. you need to get it together, you know, but it becomes a habit. Mm-hmm. And I think your prayer life can become a habit.
Yeah.
And almost like a ritual.
Empty.
Yes.
Like, everything that we pray has to be done in faith and belief. And mm-hmm. when it is a habit like that, like yeah. I think there's an emptiness that yeah. can, I'm not saying
Absolutely.
Always, but can be in it.
Yeah.
Jesus also in John, I think it's John 4:12, says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will do, because I am going to the Father. He says, whoever believes in me will do what I do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just as plain as that. And like, I know I forget that. I know that I do not walk in the authority that he has given us, but whoever believes, that's you, that's me. It's all of us who are in Christ Jesus. So the real question comes back to, why don't we pray like this?
Yeah, I feel like somewhere along the way, we just got passive with prayer. And even now we both catch ourselves doing this. We've mm-hmm. talked about that, but we've made it polite and we've made it safe and we've made it respectable. Mm-hmm. And it's just become, like I said, a habit. And I know this is something I've had to step on my own toes mm-hmm. and like check my own heart of like, girl, when is the last time like you prayed? Mm-hmm. And the other day, I know I've told a lot of stories on this podcast, but the other day this pregnancy has brought out a lot of hormones, mm-hmm. like emotions, worry, anxiety, like the complete opposite of what pregnancy is supposed to be, this like mm-hmm. joyful, excited time. It has hit me like a ton of bricks. And the other morning I was driving home from the kids' school and I cry at the drop of a hat. The other night Drew looked at me at a baseball game. He's like, don't blink. It was a high school game. He's like, this is going to be Oakley soon. And I just started bawling and I'm like, what is wrong with me? But I was driving down the road the other day and I got to my front door and I just felt the enemy. Like I literally felt him so close to me. And instead of just saying like, Lord, please help me, I just spoke with authority. Yeah. Like, get away from me.
Yeah.
You have no power here. Like, leave in the name of Jesus. Go.
Yeah.
And like my garage door was open and I'm like, just get out. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we forget we have that authority. Like the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is alive in us.
Yeah.
And we forget it. And we forget it masked behind those kind and loving Heavenly Father, you know? And it's like, sometimes we just need to rise up against it and remember how powerful
we
are.
Yeah, and when you own it, man, like you can feel the power of God. Like my grandma fell this week and she's in the hospital and we, you know, we didn't know how that was going to end up. And I went to her house to get like her little go bag to take to the hospital. And I just like felt the presence of the Lord and him prompting me to like pray over her, like while I was in her house. So like, I just go in her house, I'm completely alone. And I just feel the, like the power and the authority of God come on me. And I am just commanding prayer.
Yeah.
I like walked through her kitchen, her living room where she spends most of her time. I went up to her bedroom. I lay hands on her bed and I was just speaking for it to be done in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt the authority in that. And I was like, that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Like when we go record this week, like that is exactly what we need to say. And like in Isaiah 53:5, you'll hear John quote this all the time at church, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, by his stripes, we are healed. And that's all we need to know. That's all we need to rest on, is like he died for our healing. He died for our sins, and we just have to claim it in that moment. Like we don't have to ask, we don't have to beg, we just say. Jesus spoke to fevers, he rebuked storms, he commanded demons to leave, he said be loosed, he said little girl arise in Mark 5:41, he said take up your bed and walk in John 5:8. These were not suggestions, they weren't begging, they weren't passive, they were faith commands. And I just think it takes practice. Like I know for me, I have to catch myself. Like I said, even now, even though I know this concept and I'm working on it, you have to practice it.
Yeah. And I think it takes friends that remind you of this. And like, as a friend, I want to challenge you, if you're listening, when your friends come to you and they're like, I'm overwhelmed, or I'm not feeling good, or I'm struggling, rather than saying, oh, I'll pray for you, like, why not remind them the power that they have, like to command that these things change. And I'm guilty of not doing that.
Oh, same.
I'm guilty of just saying, okay, like a quick text back, I'll like I'll be praying for you, you know, and then I go on about my day. But it's like, no, what if the change starts with us, with being that light for our friends and that reminder? Because I feel like whenever I have done that, like reached out to my friends, I've had people that have reminded me of that power, but I've also had people that just do me the same way. Like, I'll pray for you. And it's like, no, we really need to be reminded in that moment.
Yeah. I'm so good. I needed to hear that. Like I'm totally guilty for that. And it also goes back, you'll hear us say this all the freaking time, but it goes back to knowing the word. Like how many scriptures have we quoted to you in these 11 minutes? You have to quote scripture. All the authority, all the power that we have and can access is through him and through his word.
Yeah, because Jesus knew his authority, right? And so he gives us that same authority, but we're not going to know what that authority is unless we are constantly in the word, because you may even read a scripture and it not connect with you, right? But it's like read it again and again and again and again. And even when you're at church, the scriptures that they put up, if you notice, like they're going to talk about, right, like the most like common scriptures, but like write those down and remember those. Like some of the scriptures that I remember the most are from church.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I remember Pastor Brandon saying this, or I remember Tim saying this. Like things like that stick with me. So write them down. Don't just sit there.
Yeah. Like, write and like them practice down. Them. And you know, in First John, I think it's First John. Maybe I need to look that up, but I think it's First John that it says, in the beginning, the word was with God and the word was God. That statement right there tells us all we need to know, that the authority, like the word is God. The word of God is God. It is how we get to know him. It is how we commune with him. And it is how we learn to walk with that authority. Again, Jesus knew his authority and he gave us that same authority. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. And I read that, I say that, and I'm reminded, like, why do I ever forget that? Like, why do we forget it? It's because we walk in our flesh. It's because we walk in sin. It's because we have bouts of depression or anxiety. It's because we get so caught up in the things not of God that we forget like who he is and the power that lives within us in him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we get caught up in like the mundane. I know I'm guilty of this, just like going with emotions mm-hmm. and like just trying to survive the day, like just trying to get through all of the things. And in that, we forget.
And I think we get exhausted sometimes. Sometimes we don't want to pray. And then I think it's really hard to, I don't think people talk about this enough. Like it's hard to have faith sometimes. Like, yeah. When you see your loved one suffering, we'll just talk about like physical ailments. Like if you see someone with cancer who's really sick, or you see someone with whatever issue is going on, and you're hearing from the doctors that this is, you know, fatal, or you're hearing that it's terminal, or it's really hard to put faith in action when it goes directly against yeah. what the word of God says. And again, I always think of John when we talk about healing. His wife went through, they call it a bump in the road mm-hmm. and it was cancer. And the doctor basically told her, I think like she had like 3 to 6 months to live or something super yeah. short. And he just looked at the doctor and thanked him for telling this information and just went about his day, not accepting it, saying that she will live. Like he rebuked it. He walked in his yeah. authority. He said, she is healed. Every single day they prayed that commanding type prayer, not right. like, Lord, please heal my wife, or Lord, yeah. please heal me. They said, you are healed in Jesus' name. And they started thanking God for her healing. Yeah. And that was how many years ago now?
I would say over 5, because I've lived
it was before I started. So I would say maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And she was healed from her cancer. She's been in remission. She has been, I mean, and she was supposed to die like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And they prayed that commanding prayer and walked in that authority. And they impact me so much. Like they yeah. are just walking testimonies of Jesus.
Well, when you think about it, whenever you're commanding and you're having that mindset versus Lord, please, like desperation, mm-hmm. everything that you have is reliant upon this like request,
yeah.
right? Whereas if you're commanding, it's like you're walking in that, like you're believing that. And I believe our mind is so powerful
oh, yeah.
that you can either be down in the dumps with cancer and say like, oh my gosh, this is going to take me out. This is going to kill me. Like, Lord, yeah. please heal me. Or you can have that commanding power where you're walking in it every single day, that power and authority. And I think that is powerful for our minds.
Oh, yeah. Like we're saying to God, please move. And he's saying, I gave you the power. Now speak to it. Mm-hmm. Commanding prayer is coming into agreement with what has already been said. Yeah. And that's such a good point. Where it's like we're waiting to receive this healing. We're waiting yeah. to receive him moving. And it's like, no, babe, like I've already moved. Just got to take it.
Same thing with blessings. And like we talk about business a lot and people will be like, Lord, bless my business. Like, no, girl, get up.
yeah.
Like, get to work. You know, yeah. like he's gave you the gifts and the talents and the resources and the tools. And I preach this all the time to the women that I am mentoring is like, the power, he's already given you the power. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to get up and walk in it rather than sitting, just praying like, Lord, pour out blessings on my business. He will. He absolutely will. I was watching this reel today and I actually shared it. And it said, like, don't let the blessing become the curse, because mm-hmm. that's what the enemy wants. Mm-hmm. You pray for a husband, which we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. You'll have to come back and listen to that episode. But you pray for a husband
yeah.
and he gives you one and you're like, oh, not this one, right? You yeah. pray for kids. He gives you one. And then it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm traveling. I'm always here. I'm yeah. busy. I'm tired. And then you pray for the business and the thriving business and he gives you people and yeah. you're like, oh, the people kill this business. But it's like, don't let the blessing become the curse.
Mm-hmm. And praying in faith is like the underlying thing to all of this.
Yeah.
Pray with faith, not just like the commanding prayer, like it is done. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be done. It is done. And you just have yeah. to receive that. But praying in faith of like, thank you, Lord, for healing me, even though you don't feel healed.
Yeah.
Even though the situation with your mom, your dad, your husband yeah. might still be bad, you still thank God for
moving. You speak as if it's done.
Yeah.
Right?
That's like you prophesy. Yeah. You say, thank you, Lord, for healing my marriage, even if you're still fighting, mm-hmm. even if your finances are still horrible, even yeah. if there's still sickness, whatever it is. Thank him for healing it. Thank him for moving. Thank him for answering your prayers.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely going to be done. Like it yeah. is such a mindset perspective shift that we have to be intentional about, but it is powerful.
Yeah. And I think we forget that we don't have to have immense faith. It says in scripture, faith, the size of a mustard seed. And what does it tell you? Mm-hmm. It says you can command the mountain to move.
Yeah.
Right. So you don't have to have this astronomical faith. Mm-hmm. Like if it just a little piece of you has faith, that's enough to command it.
I think that we think if we have like, okay, no, I prayed for this. Like I this happened when my grandpa died. Like he fell, hit his head, had a stroke. And, you know, we were there with him for like a week in the hospital, just praying for his healing. And at this time, I know I was not commanding prayer. I was begging.
Yeah.
But I really felt like I had faith. I was like, God, I know that you can heal him and I know that you will heal him. Like I believe, and I did. And then he died.
Yeah.
And so there are moments where you might have the faith. You might be commanding the prayer. You might be doing all the things right. Yeah. And it seems like God still doesn't move.
Yeah.
And that's just the part of healing. Like we'll never understand why some people get healed and some people don't, or why things don't work out the way that we want them to work out. But like ultimately God has a plan. Ultimately God knew that this was always the story. It's always how it's going to be. And like, we will not ever understand God's ways.
Yeah. Well, I believe, I mean, even in scripture, I think that when we think of that, like death, and we think of things that we're commanding that doesn't happen, we forget that we have to have even if faith, you know, even if you don't, like good. You're still good.
Yes.
Even if you don't heal him on this side, you know, you're going to heal him in eternity. And so having even if, I can't remember, what was it? Was it like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or it was just a story in the Bible. And I remember they said like, even if you don't, you're still good.
Yeah.
I think it is like they threw him into the fiery furnace.
Powerful, man.
Yeah. And they knew that they could deliver. He could deliver them from that. But they said like, even if you don't, we're still going in. Like we're still going to believe. We're still going to have faith. And we have to have that faith always, even if.
Yeah. And you're not the source of the power. We have to be careful with the arrogance there. Like you are not the source of the power.
Right.
We are not the source of the power, but we're the vessel. Mm-hmm. We're the mouthpiece. And God moves through our faith-filled words. And you, if you think of Ezekiel 37, like the Valley of Dry Bones, God didn't say, Ezekiel, step back and watch me work. He said, prophesy to these bones.
Yeah.
Say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Again, it is that commanding prayer. It's like a partnership that God gives the power, but we have to accept it and release it through our words, through our mouths, through our hearts, through our belief and faith.
Yeah. Like John 15, like he's the vine, we're the branches. Mm-hmm. We have to be connected to him in order to do these things.
Yep.
Because if not, that's where it does become our egos get in the way and like our power and us. Mm-hmm. But when we're connected to the vine, that's where his power grows through us.
Mm-hmm. So we want you to ask yourself, where have I been praying safe prayers? Where have I been saying, Lord, please, when we should be saying, in Jesus' name, be healed? Where have you been waiting on God? Maybe when he's waiting on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the early church didn't explode because they had long worship sets or like cool sermon series. It grew. Yeah. Like if you look in Acts and things, it grew because the power of God was on display through ordinary people who spoke with authority. Mm-hmm. It's just so powerful.
We've dressed it up this day and age.
It's a show now. And like, we think we have to be the, raise your hand if you've ever panicked when someone's asked you to pray in front of a group of people. You panic because you're like, oh my gosh, I have to pray this nice long prayer and I have to sound so eloquent and I have to sound like so holy. And it's like, you literally can pray a one sentence prayer with authority, and that's going to trump a 10 sentence prayer with a bunch of filler fluff words. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I feel like we can get caught up in chasing a moment too, where it's like we're looking for the perfect song, we're looking for the perfect whatever it is, and you find yourself chasing a moment rather than like being that moment for the people who need it.
So it's time to shift how we pray. It's time to stop praying from a place of uncertainty and start praying from a place of identity. Because when you know who you are in Christ, we can stop praying like beggars and start praying like the son or the daughter that you are. You pray with boldness. You speak healing over your family. You command freedom over your mind. You declare that breakthrough over your finances. And you don't ask sickness to leave. You don't beg God to heal. You tell it to go. Mm-hmm.
So let us leave you with this. The next time you're faced with something heavy, don't just say, God, please fix it. Speak to it. Declare God's word over it. Command it to shift in Jesus' name. because the power that raised Jesus from the dead, it lives in you. That's Romans 8 and 11. So stop praying like you're powerless and let's start praying like Jesus taught us to.
Amen to that, sister. All right. So we want to invite you to revive your spirit by meditating on this scripture. It is Mark 11, 23 through 24. Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Catch you later.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
Cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.